Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Couple and wife team on Fridays, Tobias and Sarah.
Jesse and Anita.
Retired cop, retired nurse, lovers of Christ.
Yes, blessed Holy Advent.
Devoted to Our Lady?
Yes, absolutely we are.
Let's start off with St. Michael's the Archangel Prayer, then we'll get right into the show. We'll get right into spiritual warfare. Name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil.
May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Santi Michele Arcangele, defend us in praelio, contra nequitium et insidious diaboli esse presidium, impedit illi Deus supplicis et precamur tuque, princeps militiae celesti satanam aliosque, spiritus malignus, qui ad perdizione animarum perogantur in mundo, Divina Virtute, in Inferno Virtute, Amen. In nomine Patri, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, Amen.
Well, we're going into our second week of Advent. Wow, how quickly that's come.
Advent means the coming of Christ.
The coming of Christ. And I'm wearing my purple for Advent, our Advent colors, which means preparation and also means royalty. And the word, the color purple, when they were, that color was so difficult back in the day to dye it, to get it to this color. So that's why they used it only for royalty. So Jesus is our
and during Lent
our king.
And during Lent, the purple is used for penance
Advent, and sacrifice.
Royalty, penance.
Yes, preparation for the first coming of Christ. And but although we celebrate his birth, right?
Amen. Well, we're preparing for Christmas. Obviously, it's ramping up to Christmas. So Advent. Celebration of the first coming of Christ. We call that Nativity.
Right.
That's also an expectation of the second coming of Christ, called Judgment Day. And also as Catholics, we're blessed because Jesus comes to us every day in his Eucharistic presence.
Right.
So there's an Advent every day at Holy Mass.
Yeah, speaking of Advent and receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, the first Friday. Today is the first Friday of the month. And what does that mean? It means the devotion to the Sacred Heart, a vision that was given to St. Margaret Mariella Koch in the year 1673. And Jesus gave her 12 promises, and this month is the 12 of the 12 promises. So what are those promises? I'm going to read them to you so you can get the exact dictation of it. That the all-powerful love of my heart will grant to all those who receive communion on the first Friday of 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die under my displeasure, nor without receiving their sacraments. My heart shall be their assured refuge at the last hour. So there you go. So if you're near death, there should be no fear, no worry, no doubt about your eternal destiny. If you are devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and you go to Mass every Friday and receive our Holy Communion in the state of grace, there's nothing to fear.
Yep, you will die. The promise is that you're going to die in a state of grace. And if you die in a state of grace, you're on your way to heaven.
Yep, so that's that 12 of 12 promises. So we end that year.
What an incredible
devotion.
Yes. Yeah. The Catholic Church has, God has just given us
so many
opportunities,
yes.
As they say, so many opportunities to get to heaven
to
be saved.
And to live a holy life. Strive for holiness.
For without no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14.
Right.
Okay.
So let's go on with our show. What is it? We're on our fourth part.
It's part four of 20 ways of spiritual protection for yourself and your family. So this is spiritual warfare for the family. So let's jump right into it.
Yeah. Okay. So point 16, make sacrifices to God. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. God is pleased by sacrifices of that kind.
Wow. Notice it says sacrifices
are doing good and sharing what you have. That's the sacrifice.
That is a sacrifice.
Oftentimes, you don't even have to look farther than your children.
Absolutely. Your children are
Have you
the
had
first...
the ability to help your children? Of yes. course, you know, barring that they're not drug
not
addicts
enabling
and,
them.
Not, and not living I mean, homeless and,
yes.
you know, being malingerers. If your children are striving to practice their faith and really trying to do better for themselves.
And they need a little assistance.
Hebrews 13, 16. Mm-hmm. Then God is pleased by sharing what you have with them and doing good to them. And that's a sacrifice, obviously.
Right.
And it's pleasing to God. God is pleased by this.
Right.
So in relationship to God, what obligations do we have, Anita?
Okay, what are our obligations? There's two obligations. One of them is prayer. And St. Augustine says, if you don't pray, you won't be saved. And Father Ripperger also says, if you don't pray, you are not going to be protected.
And he's talking about the diabolical.
The diabolical.
Because he's an exorcist.
Yes. So if you don't pray, because you're not communicating, that's constant communication with your lover, who is who?
God.
God. The second bullet point is sacrifice. You have to offer sacrifices to God. So what are they? Sacrifices, when people would go through suffering in the past, they would say, offer it up. So those are anything that would cause some form of suffering. You know, getting up every day, going to work. There's all kinds of sacrifices. Oh, I got to go and assist my elderly mother or my elderly father, take them to the doctors. That's a sacrifice because that's something that's going to, you know, interrupt the day that you had planned, especially if it's something that just occurred.
But here's the key also, Anita.
Yes.
When we do these things, we have to do them for God.
For God.
Because if you're just doing...
And with love. And
yeah.
with love.
If you're just doing
yes.
like...
Charity.
Some things that require sacrifice, but you're a pagan and you're an atheist and you're not doing it to unite your suffering with God, it's meaningless.
Right, right.
You
Absolutely.
Have to unite whatever suffering you do throughout the day to God. That's
right.
what the whole saying means, offer it up. You're offering it up with the cross of Christ. You're uniting your sufferings and offering it up with the cross of Christ.
Right.
And then, now it has merit
Absolutely.
Because it's united to Jesus.
Absolutely.
So sacrifice has how many parts?
It has three parts. The first bullet is the offertory. The second is the slaying of the victim. And the third is the consuming of it. That sounds like mass to me.
That's first of all, that's the Old Testament Temple of
wow.
Jerusalem and
yes.
the Catholic Mass.
Yes. Yeah.
So both of them are, there's a sacrifice in the midst of that worship in the Old Testament and in the New Testament Mass. Again, those three parts, like Anita said.
Yeah. So then when you offer it up to God, for example, daily works, financial donations, any charitable deeds or sufferings, you are making an act of sacrifice. And that sacrifice, when you are in the habit of it, will go a long way in providing you protection.
Mm.
So what is protection protecting from? The diabolical.
That's right. Here's the verse I think that really unpeels yeah. this whole theology of redemptive suffering. If there's one verse that I would take you to, it's Colossians 1:24. St. Paul says the following, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." Now, notice that phrase, "what is lacking." Some people may say, what do you say? That's heresy, that Christ's sufferings lack something? No. What's lacking in the sufferings of Christ is our suffering. In other words, the suffering that remains for believers in the trials of life. Suffering is a mission for all the faithful as a mean of what? Of conforming ourselves to Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in Romans 8:17 and Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. So these words, what is lacking in Colossians 1:24, could be misunderstood to mean that the suffering of Christ was not sufficient for redemption and that the suffering of the saints must be added to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is not what the church teaches. This would be heretical. Christ and the church are one mystical person. And while the merits of Jesus Christ are infinite, the saints acquire merit in a limited degree. So what is lacking in Colossians 1:24? Well, what's lacking is what pertains to the afflictions of the entire church, to which St. Paul adds his own suffering in union with Christ. In other words, through our suffering, we distribute graces to other people in the body of Christ. That's what Colossians 1:24 is saying. I'm going to break it down. Here's the exegesis for Colossians 1:24. Through our suffering, obviously united to Jesus, we distribute graces to other people in the body of Christ.
Wow, beautiful. That is so beautiful. And just think about that. Your suffering, anything you do that requires to break through that will and to offer it up, it's going to help all those around you, your family members,
absolutely,
your children.
Anything, you know, even didn't Our Lady
society.
Didn't Our Lady of Fatima actually say about something about suffering will change, help children, people from going to hell?
Yes, as many souls will go to hell because no one prays for them. So that's what we're... That's Our Lady of Fatima.
Because prayer is a form of suffering. I don't want to pray.
Right, you have to break through that.
Yeah.
They break through that.
I don't want to get on my knees. I don't feel like a kid doing this. Well, Our Lady of Fatima says, guess what? A lot of people go to hell. Why? Because nobody's willing to pray for them and suffer for them.
Right. And that's our job as Catholics. And here comes Our Lady, La Morenita.
Yep. Ora pro nobis, ruega por nosotros, pray for us.
Amen.
Our Lady Guadalupe, crusher of heresies. We'll be right back. Stick around. Pray for us. Spiritual warfare for the Catholic family, 20 ways of spiritual protection for yourself and your family. We go to point number 17. It's point number 17 is mortification. Let me define this term because a lot of people aren't used to hearing this term. Mortification means the practice of asceticism, and I'll define that, the practice of asceticism by penitential discipline to overcome desire for sin and to strengthen the will. I'll give you an example of asceticism. Kneeling down, that's an ascetical practice. Putting your hands together in prayer, that's an ascetical practice. Bowing your head, that's an ascetical practice. Asceticism is the doctrine that a person can attain a high spiritual and moral state by practicing self-denial, self-mortification, and the like. It also requires rigorous self-denial, sometimes extreme abstinence and austerity. In other words, as they teach in Liber Christi, you're taking custody of your intellect and custody of your will through the practice, the penitential practices of the Catholic faith.
Of reverence. And I think a lot of us that know our faith and are not ashamed to do those things in Mass. We see plenty of our brothers and sisters
that won't even do that at Mass.
That won't even do that. They just walk in
the Mass,
and their hands are fiddling with their hands behind their back, their hands in their pocket.
The Mass is the perfect place to practice asceticism.
Right.
At the holy hour, you know, when you're personal, in your bedroom at night, make it your prayer room. These are times to practice asceticism. Does the Bible talk a little bit about, you know, the denial of... the body and all that stuff?
Yes, in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. That's what we were just talking about.
Well, why would St. Paul say that? Because your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So the theology is, offer your body because it's a temple of God. Offer it to God.
Right, absolutely. And
here's something interesting, Anita, about the Beatitudes. You know, when people read the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit and all this, you know, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People wonder, okay, I just read all the Beatitudes. What does it really mean? I'm not sure what it really means. It sounds beautiful, but really there's one sentence that really defines what the Beatitudes are.
Yep. It's the first of these Beatitudes is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It ultimately refers to detachment.
Bingo.
That's what it means.
All the Beatitudes are basically teaching you, little by little, to detach yourself from this world and prepare to enter into the next. And guess
like
what?
Like an onion. Yeah. You peel it.
It's painful.
It, peeling it. Yeah, absolutely.
There's an old saying, people say, when you peel an onion, to get to the core of it, you're going to cry as you're peeling the onion. That's the way life is.
Yep.
God is pulling you away from your car, your nice house, your boat, your jet skis, whatever else you have, your vacation homes, your you know, all your investments. Yep. God is pulling you away little by little, and you're going, ouch, it hurts. That's called detachment.
But it does get easier.
Yeah. You know. It, yeah, as you get older, you start realizing.
Gosh, who cares?
Who cares about
my car?
This stuff?
I got a dent. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Just fix it.
Oh, I'll give you a small example of this detachment. It's like when you put a Band-Aid. Like guys have hairy arms like me, and you put a Band-Aid over
beautiful.
Yeah, over an arm, over a part of your body that's all hairy. Okay, and then you know you get the cut closes, and then you pull off the Band-Aid and you take a bunch of hair off.
Yeah.
Detachment. Okay, like ouch. All right, it hurts a little bit. That's what. God is trying to peel us off like a Band-Aid from planet Earth, but we fight because we're saying, no.
Yep.
I want my creature comforts. I want to stay. I want Vegas. I want Disney World. I want the beach. I want whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's what this whole mortification is all about in Catholicism.
Right. Yeah. So many of the areas of man's life where spiritual battles rage on detachment from things of this world is one of the toughest. It's really tough. We don't hear too much about it on a regular basis, and it could be confusing and difficult to understand. But detachment from the things of this world is necessary for what? For our souls.
And there's a powerful quote from Thomas A. Kempis. He's a monk. Look, what did he say? I think Thomas A. Kempis about detachment.
Yes, very wise here. Nothing so entangles the heart of the man than disordered love for created things.
That's in his classic book, Imitation of Christ.
And we all read that, and I encourage you, all of you, to read that book.
Yeah.
Such a classic.
Wow. Nothing so entangles the heart of man than disordered love for created things. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Right. Because there's that struggle. You know, you're going to worship God, or you're going to worship the things of this earth. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. It's not, it can't have both.
That's right. So another area of mortification would be fasting. You know, demons can't stand the body that fast. They can't stand it. I'll tell you why. Because in fasting, you have to deny the appetites of the flesh. And by the way, that's one of the seven deadly sins, gluttony. And you have the spiritual writers. They say, if you can fight and master gluttony, you're going to be able to master the other six deadly sins. And so...
And I think all of us have that tendency to be gluttonous.
I know I do. I know men do. This is a struggle for men. I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you.
We're always getting more servings than we should. And just foods that we shouldn't be eating. And
snacking.
Yeah. It's being gluttonous.
And people say, well, that's harmless. No. The thing is, you're not having self-mastery over the body, which means you're going to have a difficult time having mastery over pride, envy, anger, lust, avarice, and pride. If you could slay gluttony, you're going to start moving into the other areas of self-mastery.
Right. For example, on Wednesdays and Fridays, Jesse and I really...
That's the old school, by the way.
That's the old school. We
Pre-Vatican
really
too.
Try to...
go meatless.
Yeah, to go meatless and... And just eat smaller portions of food and just watch, you know, anything extra that we don't need.
We don't just do this on Lent. We're trying to do this Wednesdays and Fridays. Meatless.
Fish. That's it.
And smaller portions on those days. So you're fasting. You're not eating like you regularly do.
Right. And it's difficult because the day before you just filled up. You ate till you filled your tummy up. You know?
Yeah.
And when you just eat a small portion, it's like, wait a minute, I'm still hungry. But that's the best time to stop and to offer it up.
And I'll tell you what's good about it is because as you realize that you're hungry, you depend more on God. When your belly's full, in fact, even the Bible, St. Paul says their God is their belly. He says it in the book of Romans about their God is their belly. When your belly's always jiggling with food and drink, You don't think about God because you're always satiated and you're always filled. You know, right. Your carnal
appetite. It's a competition.
Yeah.
You're competing with God.
But when you fast, you realize, man, I'm one breath away from dying and seeing God. You realize how much you totally depend on Him. Yeah. Also, let's remember the theology that demons have access to our bodies, and they want to follow our emotions, and they want to follow what's in our imagination and follow whatever they want us to incline towards. That means that we're obeying our body, and that's what demons want us to do. From there, they can control us and get us to do what they want us to do. In other words, what I'm saying, I'll make it simpler. The demons will use your fallen nature to get you to follow them. Mm-hmm. And you're one of the ways that our nature manifests its concupiscence is gluttony. Yeah, let's continue on here talking about mortification.
Mortification, yeah. And what does mortification do? It subdues a body and brings it into subjection. As a result, demons don't want to get involved with someone like that. So if they suggest something disordered and you are in the habit of keeping your appetites under control, you'll be much more sensitive to that and much more likely to keep the demons away. Wow.
Yeah. Demons like disorder.
Right.
Mortification brings order.
Order.
They can't stand order. They like disorder.
Yep.
Also,
and it's just not the body, even with your exterior life, the right. way you live, the way if you have a home and your home is all disheveled and the dishes are not washed and the kitchen's clean,
the bed's not made
and all those things.
Demons love that. They love disorder.
Right.
They love things. They love disorder. They love disorganization. Yeah.
Right.
They love things that are unclean. That's a magnet for the diabolical.
And it's funny, in the morning, Jesse and I, once whoever gets up last is the one that makes the bed immediately. So
there's no competition.
That's another way of mortification. You just, make your bed and it's done. And it just shows order in your life.
That's right. So the temptations from the flesh, there are three different types of temptations we have to endure. The classic Catholicism on spiritual warfare is the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yep.
Those are the three sources of temptations.
Right, and that's where, when you're praying the Most Holy Rosary, the three beads of the Hail Mary before you get into the mysteries, we always pray for Our Lady's intercession to protect us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's the best time to ask Our Lady to intercede for us, because the world is cruel. Our flesh can make us fall. And obviously the devil is there to initiate all that.
Yeah, the devil loves to use your body to cut. Father Gabriel Morth, here's what he says. The devil will use your body against you and make you sin. In other words, and he'll do that by, again, just temptation. That's the first, that's what the ordinary attack of the demon is, just simple temptation.
And that's what similarly what Father Ripperger says.
He says
those three sources of temptation. But Father Ripperger says every temptation pivots on the flesh.
Mm.
Wow. The devil can only influence the flesh. The world can only influence the flesh. You have to get that under control.
And that's where mortification comes in.
Absolutely. Mortification. There you go. Even the highest things in this life can be forms of temptation if you are not careful. If you don't have your appetites subjected, we have to keep those things under control. Mortification will subdue the body and keep you from having these problems.
The word appetites also means passions or emotions. So we have to keep our emotions, i.e. our passions, theologically, philosophy, they say appetites. I mean, the same thing. We have to, don't let those things control you.
Right.
You control them. I'll give you an example.
Those are our lower nature. Our lower nature. Just remember that.
I'll tell you, for example, this has never happened to me ever. I've had a cell phone ever since we've had cell phones. All of a sudden, within the last week, I've been receiving pornography texts on my phone. This has never happened to me before. Never. Okay. I had a Virgin phone up until this week. And so, the way people put you on these threads, I'm like 20, 40 people. And so I said, Who in this thread is sending out pornography? What, somebody here is accessing pornography and sending it out. Take me off the thread.
Here comes Our Lady. Yeah,
yeah. We'll talk more about that.
Top of the third hour.
Yeah.
Stick
around. Don't turn that dial. La Morenita, pray for us. Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Guadalupe means the one who crushes the head of the serpent. We know who the serpent is, the devil.
Yep.
What I was just telling you. Remember I was just telling you about the last week, I've been probably gotten three or four texts of pornography on my phone. Never happened before. And I'm in a lot of threads. People put me in threads and stuff, and I don't really care for it. But, you know, they get your number, and they want to send you stuff, so they put you in a thread. So what did I do? I said, what the heck is this? Okay, right on my phone. So immediately, going into prayer. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this demon of pornography that's trying to attack me. Be gone in Jesus' name. Virgin most powerful, pray for me, protect me. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for me, protect me. My guardian angel, pray for me, protect me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So I went into prayer mode. Next, then I said,
Now action.
Now, I text everybody in the thread. I said, somebody here is watching pornography. Knock it off. Okay? I think we're all Catholic Christians. Knock it off or get me off this thread. So you pray and you act. Again, that's a way of mortifying this temptation. Right. A temptation was thrown at me, and I mortified it with immediate prayer and action. So mortification, prayer itself, is a form of mortification. And prayer is hard. It's not easy. Prayer is arduous. It's difficult. It's a manly activity. And this probably explains why Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, spends so much time praying. This is really important because prayer mortifies it. In other words, it disciplines the flesh. And this is why celibacy is the same way. You have to have self-control and self-discipline in your interior life. So celibacy also mortifies the flesh. And mortification requires you to say to your flesh, no, knock it off, stop it. It ain't going to happen. And there's examples of mortification. Yeah, give us some examples of mortifying the flesh on a human level.
Okay, on a human level, okay. Mortifying the flesh. I'm not going to go to eat. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray, fast, do good deeds instead. So those are examples of mortification. And also, you know, Jesse mentioned something about celibacy. That's why it's very important for us as Catholics, lay people, to pray for our priests. You can't imagine what they go through.
Hmm.
And especially during Mass, when women are dressed loosely clad, and I think it's they're doing a disservice for themselves, these women, and for our priests.
Yeah, they're going to answer to God for dressing like that.
Our priests are men. Our priests are men. They have eyeballs. Please, women, watch what you wear. Watch the way you comport yourself.
Yeah, so many priests. I mean, women throw themselves around a priest like that's their husband.
Right.
Knock it off. And then you start rubbing your breasts up against his chest. Stop it. Okay, the guy's a man.
He's a man.
And again, this would be sinful. This would be called causing scandal. Okay?
Yep.
You're causing scandal to people who see this. You're causing scandal to him because you're potentially stumbling him, at least in his thoughts and imagination.
Yeah, have compassion for them. Have compassion for them. Okay, so we already seen examples of mortification. Also, if you don't have this virtue yet, the demons...
Mortification.
The demons will use this to get you to, for example, go eat the chocolate and that type of thing. Something that, you know, just your temptation, you lose a fight. You have to mortify yourself in relationship to all of this. So it's pretty important that you fight it. It's the act of the will.
I've heard somebody say
the intellect and the will, and you have your lower faculties. Those are your lower faculties when you give into these temptations.
Yeah. To the emotions, the passions, the appetites.
That's what the lower faculties are.
Correct. And there's an old saying that goes, you have
Saint Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, you have to mortify to fortify.
Yeah.
You have to mortify to fortify. In other words, it's like an athlete. You have to do all the exercise in the gym so that you can be prepared for your event. You have to mortify to fortify. Fortify what? Your soul, the virtues. Let's talk now about forgiveness, Anita. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, when you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions. Demons will tempt you normally. They will get you out to do something you're not supposed to, or not to do something that you're supposed to. That's called the sin of omission. So where do people start?
Yeah, well, let's see where they start. Then they will get you to obsess about it and try to drag you down. Scrupulous people tend to obsess about it. Whether you commit a sin or not is not as important as how you're relating to God.
And the demons, they want the person who has sinned to obsess about it, to focus on their sin, to focus on themselves, become scrupulous. So it is ultimately scrupulosity, as Mother Angelica says and many others, is ultimately rooted in pride. You're thinking too much about yourself.
Isn't that the truth?
There's a doctor in UCLA, Dr. Marmer. He's a psychiatrist. He's at the UCLA medical school. He explains why it's so important for you to forgive. He says, when you forgive, this is how you can overcome the negative emotions that are holding you back from being a happier person. God wants you to be a happy person. When you don't forgive, there's medical studies that say this holds you back from being happy. And in fact, Anita, the Bible even talks a lot about this from the Old and the New Testament perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. For example, Leviticus 19:18, it says, take no revenge and cherish no grudge against fellow countrymen. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Romans 12:17-18 also says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be concerned for what is noble in the sight of all, if possible, on your part. Live at peace with all. Wow, that says it all.
That says it all.
Right. And I think, like Mother Angelica says, stop thinking about yourself. You got to stop thinking so much of yourself. Oh, I did this, I did that. Oh, please forgive. Stop it.
And once you've forgiven, it's another sin to question God's. Oh well, God can't forgive that. Don't be dumb. Look at the cross.
Don't be dumb.
Yeah, Christ can forgive anything you've done if you repent and amend your life. What he did on the cross was the perfect act of satisfaction for the sins of the entire world. Now you must approach the cross with repentance, with amending your life, and with the heart of reconciliation. Anita, there's a
doctor. You also have to remember, when you're asking forgiveness, you got to think about those sins that you forgot, that you committed. Just say, you know, I also confess all the sins that I've sinned today, or that I've committed, that I've forgotten since my last confession.
Yeah, and that takes care of it.
We're human. Sometimes we don't remember.
You're not a computer.
And yeah, right. So.
And God forgives that. You say that? All your sins are forgiven. Because,
right, and don't look back. Oh, I forgot to do this. I say that. Well, that's being scrupulous.
Because
stop it.
You intended to confess all your sins. You're not a computer, so you don't remember. So
right.
If you add that caveat, all your sins are forgiven. Dr. Luskin from Stanford says this about forgiveness. When you don't forgive, you release all the chemicals of the stress response. Each time you react, adrenaline, cortisol, and norepinephrine enter the body. When it's a chronic grudge, you could think about it 20 times a day. And those chemicals limit creativity. They limit problem solving. Cortisol and, say it again.
And norepinephrine.
Cause your brain to enter what we call the no thinking zone. And over time, they lead you to feel helpless and like a victim. When you forgive, Dr. Luskin from Stanford says, you wipe all that clean.
and you feel better. You feel better. I mean, it just, it's like a miracle drug. Forgiveness is a miracle drug. It really is. We had this young lady who was diabolically afflicted. She was very sick because she did not forgive. She hated her boyfriend. She hated her boyfriend. And she told us, she screamed at my husband and said, Jesse, I hate him. I cannot forgive him for what he did to me. Well, he said, well, okay, then you'll never get healed. So, think about it. So don't come back until you're ready to forgive. And what did she do? She, went in front of the Blessed Sacrament and forgave him and forgave herself. And she's completely healed. So that's all it took. So that was, she's self-delivered. She's self-delivered.
She pursued a life of holiness.
What a beautiful thing.
And a state of
forgiveness
grace.
Is a beautiful thing. And those people that you have something, we're not telling you to hang out with them and be palsy-walsy with them but just forgive them and just move on.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing them to rent space in your mind.
When you hate somebody. Yeah.
You're allowing them to rent space.
Rent free.
Do you want anybody rent free in your home? No.
Much less in your mind.
Right.
Let's look at one of the most powerful weapons against the diabolical, the virtue of humility.
Yeah.
Luke 14:11 says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Wow.
Humility is one of the two virtues that will provide you the greatest amount of protection. Actually, St. Anthony of Padua says that. Charity is the other virtue. Some of the things that we're going to say right now are probably going to be redundant, but for the sake of protecting your family and yourself, it's worth mentioning them here again. So yes. What's the first one? The sacrament of what?
The sacrament of humility. Humility is a willingness to lead a life in accordance with the truth by not judging yourself greater than you are. Humility is one of the most powerful things to protect yourself. The more humble you are, the less demons can influence you. A demon said in an exorcism about Our Lady that her power is in her humility.
That's right.
Mary's power, it's her humility.
The more humble you are, the more spiritually powerful you become. Here's a couple of bullets. Humility is a strength. Second bullet, humility is a virtue. Third bullet, humility gives you self-possession. Fourth bullet, humility gives you self-control. Fifth bullet, humility gives you clarity of mind.
Well, here we go. End of our third segment.
Yep.
And we'll continue on humility in the next segment.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
You got to mortify to fortify. We're talking about spiritual warfare for the Catholic family. And we're talking about humility. It gives you a control over yourself that none of these other things do. And that's why the demons will avoid the humble, like St. John Vianney, St. Padre Pio. Because they recognize that they're more likely to be defeated. Not by the proud, but by the humble. And so you can pray for humility. There's actually a beautiful litany called the Litany of Humility, written by Mary Cardinal Del Valle. He was the Secretary of State to Pope St. Pius X, the greatest pope in the last 100 years. And it's called the Litany of Humility. If you pray the Auxilium Christianorum, it's every Friday.
Yeah, and that's one of the prayers that when I first started praying those prayers, I did not like that prayer at all. I was not, and because I was at a different level than I am now. And I love that prayer now.
Amen.
It just brings me back down to earth.
Yep. So
or God, heaven.
Yeah, amen. God is more likely to protect somebody who's humble. And if you're really proud and arrogant, God will scourge you every now and then to get you humble, to bring you down, as it says in Proverbs 29:23. And this is why humility is so important. It is the sacrament of humility, which is confession. Humility will help you not to get proud or to be puffed up, because we know that with pride, demons can make use of it. And demons can influence your judgment by playing on your pride. So it's worth mentioning again that when we go to confession, you have to own up to your own failings. Confessing our sins is a good way to humble us.
Yeah. Humility, the one virtue that underlies every other virtue or conquers Satan's pride. Fasting defeats the devil because it teaches how to rely on God and control our passions. Humility and fasting equals two great weapons against Satan in the battle, in the spiritual battle we face, because we are always facing a battle, and that those two help us. In Matthew, it says, learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 11, chapter verse 29. Chapter 11, verse 29.
One of my favorite preachers in the 20th century, I don't know where he's at right now, but I wish him well wherever he's at, Father John Carapi, he would always say, humility is a spiritual nuclear weapon.
Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful.
A spiritual nuclear weapon.
We already know what a nuclear bomb can do. Just imagine.
Yeah. It's showing you the effects of that virtue mm-hmm. on the spiritual realm. Right. It's like dropping a Moab, a mother of all bombs, on the enemy.
Yep.
So let's talk about the virtue of charity now, Anita.
Okay, the virtue of charity. Your every act should be done with love. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. And with charity, you love God. Your heart is completely devoted to God. Charity is a love of God and love of neighbor for the sake of God. If you're living a life of charity, you are loving your neighbor for God's sake. If you do that and you work on charity and keep doing it, the demons will avoid you. They will avoid you because they know your attachment is to God. They know if they try to tempt you to something else, you're likely to have a revulsion against it. So that's interesting.
First time I ever heard that was from Deborah Lipsky, former Satanist, who's not Catholic. She on an interview I heard her say long. Mm-hmm. She said, "Love is what repels demons. They can't stand the person who loves God and loves people, but they're attracted to anger." I remember her saying it over and over again. Charity is one of the principal things to develop. Loving God. How? Just tell him. Tell him what? God, I love you.
Simple.
Do that regularly.
Four words. God, I love you.
Do it throughout the course of the day. Tell the Lord you love him. As a matter of justice, you have an obligation to pray at least 15 minutes a day. And during those prayers, you should be making these frequent acts of love to God. And we can pray for each other when we pray and extend charity to each other in that way as well.
And what's 15 minutes of prayer? The Most Holy Rosary. You can pray 15 minutes a day. And what is St. Teresa of Avila? Those that don't pray 15 minutes a day are like an animal.
Yeah, like an animal, yeah.
So that's... You know, so we have to just remember that. If we can't even tell God I love you, it's like this. You get up in the morning, if you don't even talk to your spouse and not
there's
even spend at least 15 minutes of communication
there's
a day, there's a problem with your marriage.
Yeah.
Absolutely a problem with your marriage. If you can't spend at least 15 minutes a day communicating with your spouse without any distractions, there's a problem.
There's a problem. Here's something important about we're talking about charity, and we just finished talking about humility. There's two things that the devil fears above all, and St. Anthony of Padua said this back in the 13th century. He was a renowned Franciscan preacher. He said that the devil fears above all the fire of charity and the well-trodden path of humility.
There he goes, humility together.
Those are the two virtues that demons fear.
And almsgiving is important too.
That's why, because that shows generosity.
Yep, absolutely.
In fact,
generosity, not just a giving, but of your time.
Yeah.
How many of us also give of our time to people that just sit there and talk to them, just sit there and listen? Many times we get phone calls from people, and I think sometimes they just want someone to listen to them. And if you're a good listener, you're the perfect person to give people time.
Absolutely. So almsgiving is what giving to people that need. It's important also, God, because again, that helps you practice what? Self-detachment.
Right.
In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 2 and 4, it says, Blessed the one concerned for the poor in a day of misfortune. The Lord delivers him. The Lord keeps and preserves him, makes him blessed in the land, and does not betray him to his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. You turn down his bedding whenever he is ill. Psalm 31, verses 2 and 4. In fact, the book of Tobit also says something about
this. Yeah, that's our book.
That's right. That's the book for the show.
Yeah, there you go. And it says, Tobit 12, chapter 12, verse 8 to 9, says, prayer with fasting is good. Almsgiving with righteousness is better than wealth with wickedness. It is better to give alms than to store up gold, for almsgiving saves from death and purges all sin. Those who give alms will enjoy a full life. That's Tobit, chapter 12, verse 8 to 9.
Again, what does God want us to be? Generous. Generous not only with our time, but also with our treasure, with those things that we have. And again, I think
they go hand in hand, I believe.
One of the most practical ways to be generous is those with your people in your family. Do they need from you? Do they need? Can you help them?
Yeah.
Of course. I'm not going to say to feed somebody's drug habit or alcohol habit. That's different. Okay, you can't enable them. But again, people that you can help in your family that do need help, spiritually or even
right.
financially.
And I think those go hand in hand. A lot of people miss the mark. They give financially or, you know, and they're not feeding them with the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's because I love God. It's because this is what, you know, God wants you.
Our motivation always has to be God. We do it out of love for God. Or it's worthless. If you write big fat checks to people just because you got a lot of money, but you don't do it out of love for God, guess what? There's no merit to it. Because the merit is in doing it out of love for God.
Yeah.
So let's recap everything.
Think about that. This is the end of the year. And those that, you know, you want to give through the love of God. And those things that are going to advance the kingdom of heaven.
Give to good apostolates.
Good apostolate. Don't
that are feeding you the word of God.
The word of God.
Don't feed. Don't feed. Don't give to liberal, progressive, Catholic organizations. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You decide which those are.
Don't, or email us and we'll tell you.
Yeah. Give to those organizations that are faithful to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church based on 2,000 years of sacred tradition and sacred scripture. So,
like VMPR.
Yeah, this organization.
This organization. Okay? If you feel that we're feeding you. And
there's others out there, but this is definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the truth about the Catholic faith here.
Always.
Unadulterated.
Always. Absolutely, always.
So let me recap. I hope you enjoyed these last 4 weeks about spiritual warfare for the Catholic family. And if you like it, well, consider sharing this with some people. You know, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button. And hit the bell to be notified and share this show with others. I'm sure this show has helped you. And you can count on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we will be talking about Catholic spiritual warfare issues, and we'll be talking about it from a very practical level. Mm-hmm. What I call
Friday,
basically,
it's for the common man.
Yeah. Spiritual warfare for the common man,
men and women.
And so again, we know that you know, divorce is up, suicides are up, depression's up, diabolical influences. That's why we provide these shows, to give people solutions. And what's the solution? It's being faithful to Jesus Christ. It's living in a state of grace. It's proclaiming Christ as Lord. It's calling upon the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary with the daily rosary. It's practicing your Catholic faith, those ascetical practices. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're going to promote, because when you do these things, what you're doing is you're submitting yourself to God as you practice your Catholic faith. And when you submit yourself to God, guess what you're doing quite naturally? You're resisting the devil. So I'm going to say, when you practice your Catholic faith, you're submitting yourself to God. As you do that quite naturally, I mean, the Bible's very clear on it. Then James chapter 4, verse 7, doesn't it say what I'm saying right now?
Yes. So submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And, you know, I wanted to share something. We just spoke to someone on Sunday. We do a patriotic rosary. We've been doing it since July for the elections, and we're continuing till.
If you live in Phoenix.
It's over. If you live in Phoenix, we do it at Our Lady Guadalupe at 6 o'clock.
I lead the rosary and give a little teaching.
Yep. And
you're invited.
One lady, after it was all over, she heard one of our shows and she goes, you know what? She goes, I was listening to your show on authority and I thought that was just so great that I'm going to send it to my daughter, my son-in-law. I think they need to listen to that show, and I think they would be open. So that's what you do when you hear a show that you love, with any of the shows that here on VMPR. Grab it and
send it to people.
That's the way you also, that's a way of mortification. You want to share Christ with others.
And that's the way of evangelizing.
Evangelization.
This is what we're all called to do, evangelize.
Yeah, use modern technology. It's modern technology to our benefit, right?
I mean, the devil does. Let's beat him at his game.
Absolutely.
So let me just wrap it up here.
Wow.
As a Catholic, we're called to three things. We're called to know our Catholic faith, we're called to live our Catholic faith, and we're called to spread our Catholic faith. And again, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. This is the Friday show. Tobias and Sarah.
Jessen and Anita.
That's a wrap. We're 10-7. We're out.
Have a blessed, holy Advent week, and we'll see you next time.
Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Viva Cristo Rey.
Viva.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.